last and everlasting God, here we stand again. We are again in your house. Because we come to give you praise and we come to give you glory and honor. Thank you for the privilege and the honor of standing to speak your word. Thank you for the fruit that your word will produce. Most of all, we thank you for the power that's in the name of Jesus. And may we realize that it's not within us that there is power, but that there is power within the name of Jesus the Christ. Bless us now as we speak your word. In the name of Jesus, our resurrected Lord, we pray, amen, amen, and amen. Ushers, you may take your seat. Because there is power in the name of Jesus the Christ is why we are yet here today. And we are doing as well as we are doing. You might not think you're doing okay. If you think you're not doing okay, I challenge you to go to Silver Crest or Parthenon or Spring Hill or to North Okaloosa Hospital. You're doing all right. Doing better than a whole lot of folks, no matter how bad you think it is. Deacon Brunson, you doing all right, even if you do have to put up with Sister Darlene, you doing all right. You could have to put up with two of them, and things are all right. We just have to take where we are and look at God. Subject today, building a relationship with God, and what I want to try to do is tell you how to build that relationship. And that is by developing a quiet time with God. You need to spend time alone with God. There's no spiritual discipline to the Christian other than the intake of God's word. And this week I have been reflecting on how I can get closer to God. Said I could study more. I could listen to some of the old preachers and try to develop me a hoop. But then I came to the conclusion that what I needed to do most of all was improve my relationship with God. Getting closer to God will make us see him in a different light. And by that, we will develop a relationship with God. All of us that are in here today, we have relationships with other people. And we have closer relationships with some people, help me Holy Ghost, than we do other people. Doesn't mean you're not in love with them or that you don't like them, but you just don't have the relationship. We need to develop a quiet time with God so we can improve our relationship. If I were to look at you, I wouldn't have a chance to look at myself and see where I fall short. And each one of us need to do that. All of the other spiritual doctrines and disciplines are dependent upon us having a quiet time with God. During your quiet time, you can meditate upon God's word. You can have Bible study all by yourself. Don't need a whole lot of other people. And I'm not saying that. I know some of you use this against me and said, why you don't come to Bible study? Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock and Wednesday evening at 6. Don't tell me next week when I ask you about coming, don't look at me and I'm looking at every one of you eyeball to eyeball right now. And I'm inviting you to come to Bible study Wednesday at 10 o'clock in the morning or Wednesday evening at 6. Count this as a personal invitation from the pastor. And somewhere I read, and they taught us in one of those seminary classes, Minister Allen, that when you receive when they receive a personal invitation from the pastor, said sometime they'll answer. Said, but he needs to keep giving it. So if you hear me keep giving this invitation, you're gonna take it one of these days, because you're here right now. Because you got invited, if not by somebody, you got invited by the Holy Spirit to come. So we need to come so you can develop that quiet time with God. You have it now, but we need to work on it. Some people even get to the place where they praise God just in their quiet time. And if you don't, or if you have not shouted at home by yourself, you ought not to shout in public. Because every now and then, you might not tell nobody else that you shouted. But when God, and I know this, Sister Carolyn will get me about this, her and my wife, want a double neck. I know you might not done already been done it, but God done something for you. That it was good enough for you to shout about. Might not tell nobody. You might not tell them right now, but after a while you'll tell them how good God done already been to you. There it is again. But you got to have that time alone with God. And when you start out, don't try to do it for 2 hours. Just try to do it for 3 or 4 minutes. 5 or 10 minutes. As you're riding along in your car, and you know most of you got CDs in your CD players in your car, put a CD in and listen to some gospel music or listen to the Bible on CD and spend that time alone with God. And don't look at me like I'm crazy, because you know that when you were 16 or 17, if you could spend 5 minutes alone with her or 10 minutes alone with him, that was some good time, and you remember that time. Be that way with God. And I promise you, you'll fall in love with him. Then you'll realize, Sister Tony, that there is power in the name of Jesus. But you got to spend that time alone with him. Building a relationship with God is the most important aspect of your spiritual development. It is your relationship with God that will bring life to your Bible study, to your praise, to your Sunday morning worship. It is the time alone that we spend alone with God that will bring us to that point. Try him sometime and see if that will not happen to you. If there was one word to explain the American culture today, it would be busy. All of us seems to be too busy to spend time with God. Always got someplace else to go. Something else to do. I'm late now for my next appointment, and I haven't finished the one that I'm in now. Spend quality time with God. We fill our calendars with all types of stuff. We are constantly doing something that keeps our lives running and rushing from one event to another one. Yet God calls us to spend some quality time each day with him. No relationship that you or I have is more important than the relationship that we have with God. None. It doesn't matter who he or she, who they may be. No relationship that you have is more important than your relationship with God. I love my wife. Love her with everything I have. And I found out I loved her as much as I loved her after I realized how much I love Jesus. And in loving Jesus, he won't make me stop loving my wife. He won't make me stop loving you. I love everyone with everything I have to love with. Doesn't matter what you've done or what you've said or what you haven't done or said, I still love you. For the basic reason, it's not left up to you if I love you. Evangelist Jones, I look at her and tell her I don't care anything about it, and she walk off and say, I know you love me. I can't convince her that I don't love her. Because I do. No matter what I say. Because I think she'll get the big head if she think I love her. She'll think she's somebody special. And she ain't nobody special. She just Mary Jones. You know. But loving people is because of your relationship with God. You have to get there. And don't think. That when you think the relationship is all right, that something won't happen to mess it up. But you got to know that you have a relationship with God. Point number one, just got three points, three or four in the closing. The importance of a quiet time with God. If I were to define what a quiet time is, it would simply be a daily time of personal fellowship with God through his word and prayer. It is a time that we deliberately set aside in which to meet with him. I do that 4 days a week for myself as far as exercising is concerned. If you call me on my cell phone, in the morning, Monday morning, between 6 and 8, you will have to leave a message. I'm at the gym. I leave my phone in the truck so nobody can call me, and I go in and I exercise. I talk to nobody. I speak when I go in, and that's it. That I deliberately have set aside that time for that. If I think enough of me physically, why don't I think enough of me spiritually to set aside a special time to be there with God and develop that quiet time? The verse that was read in your hearing, it says that so God created man and he created in him in the image of himself. I was created to have fellowship with God. No other reason. That's good enough. I was created in his own image. There was no other part of creation that was given the privilege that human beings were given, which is fellowship with God, dialogue and communication with God. With the Creator, not with a bird or a bee, but with God, where we created to have the Creator, the one that said, let there be. And y'all do know I'm selfish. He did that just for me. Out of all the other 6 billion or however many people in the world, he did that just for me. And every one of us can think the same way and it not bother with how God loves all of us. This is a privilege that no other creature, no other object that God created has. I got it. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and will sup with him and he with me. He's talking about man, why he created him so he could have fellowship with him, spending time alone with God. Didn't say you had to come to him. He said, I stand at the door and knock. He's coming to where you are. Wherever you are, God can find you. But you, when you hear the knock on the door, you have to let him in because the knob is on the inside of the door. We cannot be healthy Christians unless we spend time with God. It's not just a good idea, it's a necessity. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4 said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but also by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You cannot survive without the word of God. Physical food is not enough for your health. You got to have the spiritual intake of the word of God. What happens to you if you go a long time without physical food? I know some of you probably will say, I could get in that dress that's been in the closet for a long time. Yes, but it's not healthy to continue to be without food. No matter if you think you want to get in that dress, but you must do something. And it's the same way with the word of God. Most of us, if not all of us that are believers, if you stay away from the word of God, the devil is knocking at your door. Or you have already let him in. So we have to stay prayed up and spend this time alone with God. For if you continue to do without physical food, you will eventually die. If you constantly stay away from the word of God, you will spiritually die. Might not lose your salvation. You won't lose it if you were saved. But if you stay away from this word, the weaker you will become in following God's law. Intake of the word of God will keep you healthy and strong. If you don't have a quiet time with God, you're missing out on a privilege that you were created for. You will lack spiritual power and strength. God desires to spend time with you. No matter how wicked you may think you are, somebody else may think you are, invite God into your life and see if he won't come in. But he has to be invited. He won't do like we'll do sometime, crash a party. He won't come in unless you invite him in to come into your life. And you have to invite him before he comes in. He won't break in. He's not a thief, but you have to invite him to come in. Point number two. The elements of a quiet time. Select a special time that you are going to spend alone with just you and God. When is the best time to have a quiet time? The best time for a quiet time is when you are at your best. I ought to give the best part of the day to God. I shouldn't try to serve him with leftovers. Select a time when you are most alert and give that time to God. Famous theologian Hudson Taylor says, the best time to tune up an instrument is before the concert. Don't tune it up after the concert is over. Tune it up before you get ready to play in the concert. But most of all, whenever you select a time, be consistent in what you're doing. If I don't go to the gym first thing in the morning, I don't go. Just that simple. Because I feel like I'm at my best at that time. My wife, in her quiet time with God, 11 o'clock at night, 12 o'clock at night, she stays up late. I don't even know when she goes to bed. But that's her quiet time with God. So whatever is best for you, if some of you would come in the office sometime during the week and you would bring guests in with you to introduce them to your pastor, I would embarrass you. Because there are books in chairs. There are books on the floor. They're everywhere. That's my quiet time and my time alone with God. I can't. That's why I told my wife, I've been having to do those drops and stuff in her eyes the last 3 or 4 weeks. And she'd always said, "Have you had time to get your message?" I said, "Yes." I said, "Just give me a couple hours." But I'd have to leave the house to come to right there. Y'all see, look at that door. I think it says pastor's study. They wanted to put pastor's office on that door, and I wouldn't let them. I said, because that's not an office. An office is where you conduct business. I'm studying in there. Pastor's study. Because that's what you need to be doing when you're in there. And I have an open door policy. And Deacon Jernigan feel bad sometimes when he come and knock on the door and he see all that stuff and I let him in. But God have fixed me, so if I stop at a point, he'll let me start back at that same point. But you have to find that time for yourself and be consistent with it. When I go home tonight, I'll probably start looking at next week. And when I'm at the house, at the dining room table, in the chair that's sitting farthest to the left, facing the north, is 6 chairs at the table. Nobody's at the table but me. I will not get in one of those other 5 chairs because this chair is my time to have a quiet time and a study time with God. I know that's crazy to you. But you got yours too. If you were standing here telling me yours, I probably would think yours is crazy. But you need to get just that serious with spending that time alone with God. And when I'm at that dining room table, my wife, if she comes to the door, she see I'm at the table, she won't say a word. She'll just turn around and leave. Because she does not want to interrupt me with my time alone with God. You need to love God so much you want that time alone with Him. Nobody but God, because I love Him that much. And we need to get that way about God, being consistent. And that's the special place. Those are the two places where I do my study. When I was in the other office, I'd get at a table right outside the door. And some of you have come in and seen all those books on the floor. But you need to get that time alone with God. And the next thing you need to do is gather what you are going to use, your resource material, and get it all around you so you won't have to get up and go and be looking like I do. But that's just my method. You have to get ready for God. Get whatever you're going to need. And please, ma'am, and please, sir, get a Bible that you can look at and read. And I'm gonna say this, and I'm the older I get, the more this red writing in this King James bothers me, because my eyes runs together. So I guess that's telling me I need to get my eyes checked. So get a Bible, and most of us that have a few days behind us, you get the big print. Don't get that little bitty print. Because you get that little bit of print, them words will jump together. get something that you can read and you're comfortable with. And so you have everything you think you're going to need right there. Bible, notepad, pen, paper, something to drink, a snack, so you won't have to get up. Give God that time and let nothing or nobody interfere with it. And then you need to follow a simple plan. Don't make it complicated. Don't tell yourself, I have to read 19 chapters in this book and know all about it. No, read, get you a small section and read that and get an understanding about what you want to do right there. The simple plan is you need to relax. When I get in my chair, I take a seat, then I get me a couple of deep breaths, inhaling and exhaling. Get in my mind where it needs to be, because in the hustle and the bustle of things, we keep running and going so fast, and we want to treat God that same way. Relax when you get there in to study God's word. I don't mean, and I don't get in the bed. And most of you have heard me talk about that recliner. If I'm going to read or study in the recliner, I don't pull that lever. Because if I pull that lever, I'm gone. I let both of my feet stay on the floor in my recliner. Because I will be too relaxed. You relax, but I don't want to go to sleep if... Read a small section of the Bible of what you're going to read. Like for this week, I read that verse, 127. And I studied that. Talking about developing that quiet time with God. And then after you read it, you reflect on it or meditate on what you've read and run your cross references. That's why you have your strong concordance and your Bible dictionaries and your notepad and all that there, so you won't have to get up and go. I said that before, but you have it all there. Everything you need it right there, so you won't have to be distracted. And, you know, just do it. And then... have you something to write on? Nobody else might knock and read it but you. But you will know what it is. Record something from your study time. I have on the bottom shelf, all the way to the left there by the door, there are about 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 note loose leaf, those composition tablets that I write in. And all of them about this word. You need to put something down, and then you'll go back to it later on. You might have to go back to it later on, and you'll know what's there. We need to spend that time alone with God. And these are the things that we're calling out here now that will help you to get that way. And after you write it down, next week when you come back to it, when you read it, something will pop out at you so you can know why you did what you did. But we need to record it, reflect on it, and you need to relax so you can get there and do that. And last of all, when you're in front of him, you need to make a request. And my request this week with God has been the same thing all the week. God, teach me how I can get closer to you. And I'm talking about God now. I don't need anything. I don't want anything. I need and I want to get closer to you from my side. I know you are already there, God, but help me to get closer to you. Brothers and sisters, I think so many times when we hear the word request, we think that we ought to be asking God for some physical stuff. I need to get spiritually closer to God. Am I away from him? Not that I know of, but I know I'm not as close as I need to be all the time, because you need to be there all the time. Because sometimes when I'm driving and somebody cut me off, I think about it. But then those are the times I need to be closer to God. And I know none of y'all like that because y'all holy and not 100% pure. But I'm not there. I'm trying to get. That's why I talk to him like I do, because he knows me. God, help me to get closer to you. I need to get closer to you. And basically now, just about the only thing I read or study is something about this word. And I don't know it all. But I'm trying to get closer to God. I don't believe I could recite this whole Bible unless God gave it to me. But I can live close enough to him whereby that word can be in my life every day. If I spend time alone with God, we need to spend that time alone with God. And in all that you do, don't forget to listen to God. Don't be so busy making your requests that you forget to listen to God, because he's constantly talking to us. Point number three. The purpose of a quiet time with God. We worship what we place our attention to. We worship what we give our attention to. If you give your attention to your children, yeah, that's who you're worshiping. If we give our attention to God, then that's where we will be. The purpose is for me to come and give God my undivided attention just to him. That's why you select that special time and that special place, so you can give God all your time and your attention. I should not be concerned about what God will give me. He will always and has always given me his best. I should be concerned about what I will give him. I need to give him my undivided attention. Devotion to God is always concerned. Most of us are always concerned about what we should be concerned about, what I can give to him. Because if I give him, I don't have to worry about what he's going to give me. He's going to always give me his best. He did that way back in the beginning of time when he sent his son. So he's going to give me the very best that he had. Then I need to make sure that I in turn give him the best that I can. And sometimes when you give God your best, you don't think that that's what you're doing. But God, so many times, have taken nothing and made something. All you got to do is read Genesis. In the beginning, he created and didn't say what he created it out of. So he can make you what he needs for you to be if you surrender yourself to him and you have that quiet time with him. Well, doesn't matter whether you come to the Lord in the morning, in the afternoon, or whatever time you come, make sure that you give him your undivided attention. Because somewhere in there it says he is a jealous God. He wants you all by himself. So we need to give him that time. Every one of us love to hear that someone else loved me as much as I love me. I don't care who you are, where you from, or who your mama, or your dad, or your granddad, and all that is. You love to know that somebody else loves you. Well, why don't we feel that God is the same way? You need to show him that you love him by giving him some quality time. And another purpose of having a quiet time is we can get our directions from God. Psalms 25 and 4 says, "Show me thy way, O Lord, teach me thy path." If we go to him, he'll show you where he needs for you to go and what he needs for you to do. But if you know it all yourself, all you're going to do is get yourself in trouble. So we need to go to God to get our directions about where he would have us to go and what he would have us to do. Most of us, if not all of us, are where we are today because we have listened to him. And you might not have been aware that you were listening, and you might be so well equipped that you thought you did it all yourself. But if you talk to him and give him your quality time, he will direct you in the path that he would have you to go. You might not think so. If he's directing me right now, you may say he sure lead me down the wrong path. Keep trusting him. Keep following him. And every now and then ask him, say, "God, is this where you want me to go?" Because I do believe if Jesus would not have been totally submitted to his Father on Calvary, If the man in him would have risen up, he would have gotten out of there. But because of the love that he had for the Father, This is why I came, because I came to do the will of my Father. You have to spend so much time with God that you have no will of your own. Your will is to do the will of the one that sent me. Jesus said that if you're going to follow him, that's the way you need to be. We get our directions from him. Proverbs chapter 3 and 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path." Consider your way. If we lean on God and not on ourselves, we'll get to the right place. You don't need to think that you know it all. You just know a little part. You need to trust in God who knows everything. Is he going to tell you everything? Probably not. Because if he tell you everything, there won't be anything for anybody else to do. So he's going to tell you as much as you can stand. As much as you can do. Do whatever God would have you to be. Commit your day, your week, your month to him. And in order to get to an hour, you got to do minutes. In order to get to minutes, you got to do seconds. Give him a small amount of your time, and it will build to a large amount of time that you give to him. And then you will be allowing him to take over your life. He'll take over. But you have to let him. If you don't let him, he will not take over. He will not force you to allow him to help you. Spend time alone with God. And when we do that, it helps us to grow, to be more like Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 said, "Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doeth not yet appear what we shall be." And then it has a big word in there, "but." We know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Every one of us, if you profess to be a believer, you want to be like Jesus the Christ. So if we stay with him and stay in his word, you don't know how he looks, but when he appears, you will be just like him. This is what happens to us when we have this quiet time with God. And I can't have a whole lot of other stuff going on. And I know somebody said when you come to the office, you might hear music playing or hear somebody on TV, but it's gospel related, and it helps me to get where I need to be. I watch one of my favorite shows that I relax with now is The Big Bang Theory. I get a lot of laughs out of that. The Big Bang Theory. And if the Big Bang Theory is on, I'm not going to be in this right here. Because Shelton, he takes me out away from this because he's crazier than I am. So, but I'm saying you can't have something that's going to distract you or take you away from your train of thought about this word. You need to make sure that you are staying where you need to be when you're having this quiet time with God. Don't allow other stuff to take you if you want to be like him. And that should be our desire, is to be like him. Be like him so we can stand in the presence of God. When we are like Jesus Christ, we can stand in the presence of God when our time comes. But if you are not, you will not be able to stand in the presence of God. We need, brothers and sisters, I don't care who you are, how holy you are, how righteous you are, you need to spend some quality time in every 24 hours with God. Just you and God. And don't try to stay in there an hour or 2 hours because somebody else stay. You build up your own time. And most of you, if you're working, you drive to work. And so turn on the radio or turn on the CD and listen. That can be your quiet time. But no, now I can't do that because I pay attention to driving. Some of you are so equipped, you can, what they call it, multitask. I'm not a multitasker. I can't do one thing. So I don't try to listen to the CD while I'm driving and have some quiet time with God. I just try to drive. Because when I'm in this word, I don't want to be driving. So my point is to spend some quiet time with God, where you are alone with him and you are devoted to him and you have given him your undivided attention. If you don't do that, then you're missing a great privilege and honor to have God all by yourself. And you can do that. But you have to spend that quality time with God. Every born-again believer need to spend that time alone with God. And it does not matter how long you've been saved. You still need that time alone with God. You need to spend time alone with God so that you can get closer to him and you can know him better. He knows everything about you. We need to learn about him. What he needs for us to do. There's something that every one of us need to be doing that we are not doing. And I can tell you basically what it is. Witnessing to somebody else. Telling somebody about this God that we serve. Well, and I can hear you. Well, by God, I do that. Do it a little bit more. There's always somebody that's going to listen to you a little bit more than they will someone else. And if you don't believe that, some of you young people get a little older, talk to your mama and your dad, and they'll tell you that you never did listen when you were young. You had to get old and mess up a half a dozen times before you found out they had any sense. I found out my daddy was so smart after I got a teenager in my house. I knew everything it was about raising children until I got one in my house. That's when I found out I didn't know nothing. And that's the way it is. Not that they wasn't bad, but I just didn't know how to handle it. Because when you start experiencing it, that's why you need to get to know God, so you'll know when all of this stuff comes up, because you've had that quiet time with God. Nothing surprises God. Nothing that you are here today is no surprise to God. But you still need to have that quiet time with God. And some of you, well, you might not have done it today, but you probably had a quiet time when I was standing up here talking one day. Probably just drifted right off. But God's still all right. I'd rather you drift off in here than I had you drift off behind the steering wheel. I'm through. But brothers and sisters, my point in today's message was, and I guess it, to me, I thought about this yesterday and this morning. This message probably was more for me than it was anybody else. Because I was beginning to feel as if I was not spending enough time with God. And then this came and I put it down. But brothers and sisters, we need, don't care how long you've been saved, you still need time alone with God. I went to the gym 4 days last week. If I don't go this week, I can't take that I went last week and use it for this week. Don't care how much time you spent with God last week or yesterday, you still need to spend that time alone with Him today. Time alone with God. And if you don't believe anything else, the words to that last song that they did, there's power in the name of Jesus. Will you stand? And if you don't know Jesus, if you don't believe there's power in the name, I challenge you to come to Christ today. I challenge you to come to Christ and give Him your heart. And I promise you, He will take you and receive you and love you the way you have never been loved before. Can't nobody do you like Jesus. Can't nobody love you as much as Jesus the Christ loves you. Will you come to Him today and give Him your heart? Give Christ your heart and watch Him turn around and give it back to you made over again. Will you come? Will you come? Will you come to Christ today and submit your life to Him? Say, Lord, I surrender and I surrender all. Give Him your life. Will you come? Will you come? Will you come? God bless you.